T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Coming up this hour, the mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend of football. Wide right, which they are aplenty because it's football. Weird stuff happens. Case of the Mondays, what's grinding your gears? Get in line, 503-250-1080. What is grinding your gears? Upsetting you on this Monday morning? It's 7 o'clock and dark still. How about that? That snuck up on us. Real quick.
Yeah, wait, not a fan.
Not a fan?
It's 7 a.m. and dark already.
You know, also, too, the weather change. It's like, I'm not ready for 30 degrees all of a sudden. And we're going to get it. We're going to get 30-degree mornings coming in soon. Oh. When did that happen? But it's fall, so it's going to happen.
And
It's the fall.
We have 2 more weekends of no Pac-12 football, folks.
When do we fall back? How soon is that?
I don't know. Mid-November somewhere.
It's got to be just a couple
somewhere
weeks,
somewhere
right?
in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in November.
Soonish.
Dumb. Needs to go away. Needs to go away. Doesn't make any sense.
Spring. Isn't it going away?
I thought they had to vote for it, and every state has to have voted it in.
I think we're good.
California, Oregon, and Washington all have to do it.
But I think we're there. Are we there? What's happening with daylight savings?
I think we have some other political things that are in the way
can
right now.
Can we have a doctor do that? Can a doctor call in and tell us? Do we have daylight savings still?
Well, doctors are supposed to tell us everything.
Yep. That's right. See, that's why I'm asking for a doctor.
Nerds.
They're smart.
Nerds.
Nerds, let's do it. Hey.
I watched the craziest anyway.
You can't just stop right there. You cannot do that to us.
Well,
what
it's
did
just
going to
open up a whole can of worms that I just was crack laughing.
I love worms.
And doing that. No, it's pointless. I watched Bill Maher. It was too hysterical.
Okay.
It was too hysterical. It was watching two nerds and one doctor complain that baseball is slapping hands at the end of the game. And then the one guy who's with each other though, right?
They don't do the high five line.
His rant was like, "It's 2020. Do we still need to slap hands at the end of games?" That was the first analysis, and I went, "Okay, these guys don't get it." That was Bill Maher, which is take it for what it's worth. Bill Maher cannot be.
Okay, well, hold on.
And then the doctor, who is an Indian doctor, brilliant man, unbelievable man. His analysis was, well, it is the World Championship and the World Series, yet nobody in the world and the other parts of the world play.
Good point. Baseball
does not make any sense why they call it the World Series. Yet I went, they're Tampa Bay. They have guys from Korea, Japan, Cuba, Mexico, Dominican, and Americans. And there's people from all over the world that play in the major leagues.
Yep.
Shouldn't it be? And so I just went, all right, enough. My favorite thing would be to create a show where nerds try to cover sports.
This guy.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, what?
Doctors covering sports. Now, that would be funny.
They can call it the World Series because find me a team that's better in the rest of the world.
There isn't.
Like, that's the easy one. All the best players in the world come to
play here. Shouldn't it be considered the World Series? Because the best players in the world play in this league, so you can call it the World Series.
Like, and this is why the MLS Cup doesn't call themselves world champions, because we know that's not true. But when you do have the best teams in the world, we do call it a world championship.
NBA, world championship, because the best players in the world play in the NBA.
Yeah,
NFL is a world championship because the best players in the world play here.
See?
MLS Cup is not.
Boom. Smarter than a doctor. Nailed it. Nailed it. No. But wait, you said you don't get it with the baseball high-fiving each other.
Yeah, then no, that was what Bill Maher was advocating. He's like, it's 2020. Do we need to slap hands? Do we need to high-five after every game?
With each other?
Yeah, with your teammates.
Well,
I was like, what? He's like, that's your argument? Where we're at now in 2020? No more high fives?
It is kind of weird. What are you doing?
Greetings and salutations? We already did the Demolition Man thing.
They do that little circle high five line, though, where it's just like they just go in the loop, which I get. It's just something fun to do. It's better than, dislocating your shoulder after a home run.
Here's the other thing. Do you like how baseball never shakes hands with each other, the opponents, ever?
Yeah, they never do that.
Yeah, that is interesting. You do see in
NBA
all
playoffs.
The other sports, and obviously it's like a tradition in the NHL. And I mean, football goes and meets at midfield.
And
too,
here's my point. Baseball. It's a good point. I think it's a good point. But this is interesting: is that baseball never shakes hands with anybody. They don't have their sportsmanship sucks. They throw baseballs at each other. They complain and they yell, and they hate each other, and they don't show any sort of support from each other when they're done with the game, much less the series. Yet. Moms, and what about the kids when Tom Brady doesn't go shake hands with Nick Foles? And then this week he chased down and found Aaron Rodgers. And the outrage is he shunned Nick Foles but chased down Aaron Rodgers. What about the kids? No sportsmanship, selective sportsmanship. I don't ever hear anybody talking about it in baseball.
Well, no.
I don't hear anybody coming after baseball for their non-shaking hands.
The dumb thing about baseball, too, is that with the unwritten rules, it's like, you showed me up. You weren't being respectful to me. Well, you're not even shaking their hands after a series saying, hey, good game, guys.
2020, selective outrage. It's shocking.
Way to go.
Shocking.
Congratulations. We had two game sevens in baseball, though. That was fun this weekend.
It was fun. It was excellent. Last night's game was great.
Our World Series is set. Right. You have the Tampa Bay Rays taking on the Dodgers, a team from Florida and a team from LA. Weird. Mm. That sounds familiar.
It does.
In a bubble.
In a bubble.
Oh, wait. That's what we had.
Very similar.
That's what we had in the NBA Finals. Mm. A team from LA and a team from the state of Florida.
For a state that doesn't care much about sports, their pros are pretty good at it right now.
Dang right. Last night's game was fun between the Dodgers and the Braves, though. Dodgers become the first NL team to erase a 3-1 LCS hole to win and advance to the World Series. I heard that this morning.
Right.
And they did it off of the long ball. They did it again. I mean, if you look at it last night, that was a back-and-forth kind of game, and you had a 3-2 lead for the Braves heading into the sixth, and then Kike Hernandez and Cody Bellinger both going,
guys, what won that game?
Yod.
Two plays won that game. First, the first play was the play by Justin Turner, balls out, diving, and clipping the ankle and getting a double play, which, by the way, the second out was not an out, but they didn't replay it because he didn't get tagged. That was what saved that entire inning. Incredible. And then, Mookie Betts' catch. He's done it twice. Yep. He did it again. That was a legit home run. The first one he did, that would have been a bomb. That would have been out. Because he went over the top and got it. Defense, when you play, usually I don't get really too wrapped up in defense about how it saves you because we talk about the long ball, but it was about the Dodgers' defense and holding because Atlanta was, I mean, they were that. If that inning, if you make one little dive and miss his ankle right there, he's not throwing anybody out.
Yeah.
And that inning keeps going.
This is the kind of the struggles that you have with Dodger fans and their frustrations is that Clayton Kershaw game in game five. You know, Justin Turner, he makes plays like he did last night. He makes those often. But then it's like a routine one, wasn't able to do it, or relatively routine for him, wasn't able to pull it off when Kershaw's on the mound. You know, the Mookie Betts, it's like those defensive plays, there's almost like an exhale, like, oh, we got Kershaw on the hill. We got Kershaw. Mm-hmm. Kershaw's good. We're going to be fine. But last night, you saw how good defensively the Dodgers can be. And oh my gosh, that it was. You're right. It was fun baseball to see not just home runs, balls going over the fence, but you when you have defensive plays in every pitch, like that's been something that's been missing with a lack of fans in the stands is like those pressure packed situations where the crowd is roaring. You don't have those in the MLB postseason. For the first time, you kind of felt that. You felt that drama in the two game sevens mm-hmm. that we had over the weekend. And that is that's where baseball's at its best, is when you're hanging on every single pitch.
And Saturday's game did it all right. The baseball gods did it all right. They got rid of the Astros. Suck mm-hmm. it. Get out of here. Go home. Never want to be a part of it. George Springer, mm-hmm. please leave that organization. You're better than that place. Whoa. You are. You're so much better.
He's a cheater that can go down with all of the other cheaters.
He's not as bad as a cheater because he wasn't really implicated in the cheating.
Yes, he was.
Part of the cheating. Yes, I'm selectively liking it. No, I'm saying is that whole team needs to break up and they can go somewhere else and then they can survive.
Then they can be liked elsewhere.
They can be. I'm not going to like them. But I'd like to see George Springer go somewhere else, but because I think of the main of the group, the core of that group, he is the most likable of the group. That's just from my outside looking in. Mm-hmm. I used to like Carlos Correa until he started whining all the time. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm done with you. But needless to say, the Rays found a way to win with no payroll. And can you tell me who their best player? Even the casual fan can't tell me who their best players are because it's a team. It's a complete team, and it's an underdog story. I've been waiting to see for a long time. Waiting to see from because baseball, the Nationals were not as much as you want to say they were an underdog. They had stars. Their pitching staff mm-hmm. was star driven, massive amounts of payroll, and they get rid of Bryce Harper, so they were known. This Rays team, like what? Here they go again. They found a way to just stomp on the throats of Houston. Houston made a series.
I love G-Man Choi, just because he has a cool ass name, G-Man Choi.
He's good,
and he comes up. He comes up big hits.
Bomb.
He kind of has that roly poly look about him. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he reminds me of remember when Dae-Ho Lee was the first base for the Mariners, and then he went back to Korea?
Nope.
You don't remember Dae-Ho Lee?
No.
What?
Oh, really? Yeah, Dae-Ho.
Yeah.
I remember. I'm starting to remember that guy now.
Big.
Rays, though, they have got dominant pitching, too. They just get overlooked. I mean, with Blake Snell, who's been good. Tyler Glass now, really good. And then Charlie Morton, who's Mr. Spin Rate. You know, that guy, he was good with the Astros. And now he went over there, and he's their number two in their rotation. They've got good pitching, and then they just, as Kevin Cash calls it, the stable, right? Mm-hmm. They come at you with the bullpen, and it's just like, oh, my God, arm after arm after arm after arm. That's pretty cool to see. And, yeah, you're right, though. They have a bunch of no-names, and then, you know.
Not signature names.
Randy Arozarena.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Oh, he's
rookie.
Lighting it
he's
up.
A rookie.
He's lighting
he's
it up.
Fun to watch. Kevin Kiermaier is fun to watch. But, like, if they're not casual baseball fans, would be like, who? Mm. What? What? Mm-hmm. But then you watch them, and you're like, damn. These guys are fun, which sets up for a good World Series.
I don't know
how sexy it is for people.
I didn't, either way, it wouldn't have been as sexy with Atlanta. Now that the Dodgers are in, it definitely makes it more TV friendly because it ropes in a lot of big brand. People want to watch big brands. But Tampa needed to beat the Astros for the sake of all what is right in the world.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
No, you don't have to agree. It's okay.
Cody Bellinger. How worried are we about his shoulder?
Yeah, did though? He dislocate it? Or
he
what
dislocated
did
he, his shoulder after his
in?
Home run, giving a like he did like the Bash
yeah,
Brothers
forearm bash.
Yeah,
forearm
what
bash
doing?
With Kike Hernandez, who is a fire hydrant, and he dislocated his shoulder doing that.
Didn't he catch he played center though? Didn't he catch the final catch?
He popped his shoulder back in and he went back out there and played.
Yeah.
But. He said afterwards, I'm going to start celebrating with my left shoulder.
It's like when Tannehill jumped. Remember when Tannehill last week jumped into the end zone?
Yeah.
On Tuesday and about blew his ACL?
Yeah.
Like that was kind of a buffoonery.
I would say so. Yeah.
You could high step like George Kittle, just stay closer to the ground.
That's right. Do the Neon Dion high step in and ode to those throwback unis they were wearing, which are sick.
It goes to show you that only Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa should be doing the forearm, or Jose Canseco should be doing the forearm bash.
Yeah, when you're like, how tall is Bellinger?
Skinny little,
like 6'3",
skinny little guy.
190. Don't
get in the weight room, man.
Yeah, do some steroids like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. What? It was all legal.
Sure was. Mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football. Wide right is next on The Fan.
One play does not a game make.
Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Who says you can't lose on a single play?
Yellow! Oh, Leon Lett! Oh my God! Right.
This is Wide Right, a look back at the plays that made the weekend memorable.
Ernest Biner.
Fumble
the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
Wide Right with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No good. Wide Right.
The Fan.
All right, time for Wide Right. Let's get to it, where we start in Memphis, where the former national champs, Central Florida, held a 35-14 lead in the third quarter. Boy, it disappeared in a flash. Tigers outscoring UCF 36-14 from the midpoint of the third quarter to the end of the game. But the Golden Knights still had a chance.
Boy, some great feelings and emotions on the sideline there for UCF. As Kowarski seems to be inconsolable right now in defeat.
Their kicker goes wide left. Dan Obarski shanked it. Memphis wins 50-49. But right there was a fight on the sideline, a little dust up. A backup quarterback named Quandre Jones went up to the kicker after the game and started talking smack to him, his own teammate. Talking smack to him on the sideline.
You can't
after
do that to
a
college kicker. You can do it to a pro kicker, but you can't do that to a college. I have a little bit of a heart to college guys. They're college guys.
But also,
I know.
If you're the backup quarterback who didn't play a single snap of the game, what are you doing talking smack to a guy who actually was in the game, although he missed the game-winning kick?
Man, I saw that happen in my school once, where a player went after the kicker for missing a couple kicks. It wasn't good. Now, kickers take it. Nobody steps up to become the kicker and says, I can't wait to miss wide left.
No. You saw the punter and the long snapper, though. They had his back. They went after the backup kicker.
Slap the backup quarterback and say, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I bet coach is going to have a nice little stare routine for those guys this morning.
Ooh.
If you run the stadium.
Mark Jackson on the call for ABC in that one. Let's head to SEC country, where Tennessee was ranked 18th. I say was. We hand it over to our friend Tom Hart in the SEC Network. Bad day for Jarrett Guantanamo.
It's picked off! Intercepted by Kentucky in a free run. Lots of green for Kelvin Joseph. His second pick in as many games. And a pick six puts the Cats on the board. A first down. Garantano intercepted again. Jamin Davis finds the sideline. Nobody's going to catch him unless it's Garantano. And he's got blockers in front. Davis will stumble into the end zone. A 75-yard interception return for Kentucky.
Jarrett Guarantano threw back-to-back pick sixes for Tennessee.
Ouch.
Ooh, but you know what? The Vols brought in their backup quarterback, JT Stroud, who also threw an interception.
That was a bad football game.
They went pick six, pick six, new quarterback. Not a pick six, just a pick. Improvement?
Yeah, Tennessee was back.
Kentucky wins in Knoxville for the first time in 36 years.
I was going to say, how long has it been since that happened?
34-7. Well, that leads us to this call on the Tony Basilio postgame show on WJB.
Like Tony Baselli or Basilio?
Nope, Basilio.
Huh.
On WJB in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I've been watching Tennessee football for 30 years. And I did something today that I've never done.
What chance?
I messed up, threw a beer bottle through my window, and my wife let me.
You really did throw a beer bottle through your window?
Yeah, and I don't even drink. I had two beers. I wasn't even drunk. I can't stand to watch this team anymore. I can't do it. My blood pressure's up, and I mean, I'm cool and I'm calm. I don't get this way, but.
When was that? When was that, if I can ask that you threw your second beer bottle through the window? And was there like a glass window?
Yeah, it was a glass window.
And your wife just looked at you and said, you're nuts. I'm walking out. I'm getting out of here. And you don't blame her, by the way, do you? Do you blame her?
No, and I apologized to her and told her, honey, Tennessee football done this. I didn't do it.
That's fantastic. I love it. I love it. That's fantastic.
I mean,
can you imagine what that would be like out here? Can you imagine having
her,
that kind of mental investment into your school?
Honey, I didn't do this. Tennessee football did this to me.
I would love to throw the excuse of my college losing on a lot of things. It's spectacular.
I love that. One side note off of this, Mr. Caller, I have a feeling your wife was probably going to leave you before that beer bottle went through the window.
She'll be back. She'll be back.
Tennessee football did this to me. So not only is Tennessee having the blunders on the field, they have a mishap with somebody's marriage. All right. Sometimes you're just not supposed to win. That was the case in Tallahassee. Fifth-ranked North Carolina buckled down the stretch. Trailing 31-28, 2:24 to play, Tar Heels moved the ball 42 yards to the Florida State 41-yard line. After picking up a yard on first down, the Tar Heels went back-to-back dropped passes, setting up fourth down and nine.
Howell! Howell! Dropped again! Third in a row, they won it! First down, Javonte Williams could not catch it.
Oh, three dropped passes, including that one on fourth down, wide open, drop ball, game over. Mac Brown's crew, they fooled down
the
stretch.
I was flipping back and forth on this game. I was shocked in the first half. Florida State tried to give it back to North Carolina. They tried to hand it to them. They went full goose egg.
That's one of those. It's one of those games where you're just not supposed
Welcome
to win.
Welcome to the
right?
ACC. We're going to see games like this in the Pac-12 too. Mm-hmm. Oh, North Carolina's back. Ranked it back. They're never here.
Wrong.
In football. Wrong sport. Wrong school. We were pumping them up.
Wrong.
Pumping them up.
Hey,
Mac Brown pumping them up. Went and lost to Florida State. My ride to Florida State.
From Mac Brown to the Cleveland Browns in the NFL, they were 4-1, feeling themselves heading into unbeaten Pittsburgh.
Out of the gun on third down. He's intercepted. And there's an open field straight ahead for the run back and the touchdown. And it's Minka Fitzpatrick.
Well, 38-7 Steelers win.
Okay, I asked for one thing now.
Okay.
Can we be done with the Baker Mayfield commercials?
No.
Can we be done with those?
No, because they're fantastic when he throws a pick and then he's hawking his book club or whatever that commercial is. That's great.
He's got major deficiencies, and you can see it. Yeah. You can see that what the Browns are trying to do is that he doesn't have the ability to win a game when you need him to win a football game. He does not have that ability. He's never proved it, and he never will. In the NFL, he'd be a decent guy, decent player, all right, decent. But when you play a real football team that has unbelievable pass rush, you see the pass rush of Pittsburgh. God. Forget about it. I thought the offensive line for Cleveland was supposed to be good. Mm. Oh, boy.
No. It was cool to see Myles Garrett and Mike Tomlin. They had a little handshake before the game. And, sure. You know, hey.
So, bygones be bygones.
Hey, remember when I ripped your quarterback's helmet off and mm-hmm. hit him in the head with it? Sorry
right.
about that.
Right.
And Mike
right.
Tomlin's like, nah, it's cool.
Not much
we don't
payback
like him
for the Browns. Not like much
anyways.
Payback.
All right, let's check in on the New York Jets. Shall we?
Third down and four. Here comes Eric Rowe chasing Flacco. Flacco now looking at Ogba, and he drags him down. A monster loss.
Andrew Catalan on the call for CBS Sports. That would be a 28-yard loss taken by Joe Flacco on the sack. A 28-yard loss on the sack.
I've always tried to figure out the analogy of throwing somebody to the wolves.
Joe yards?
Flacco looked like a hanging piece of meat that you put out on, I don't know, Lord of the Flies. Seriously, he didn't want any part of being out there. I mean, it is so dreadful to watch this organization and these players. I don't know if I feel for these guys because they're pros and they're getting paid, but that whole place, Joe Flacco was getting murdered.
Yep. Miami skunks the Jets 24-0. Bears, Panthers. All right, I'm going to put you in the situation here. This is what I wanted to ask you earlier. Is you're Matt Nagy. Minute 40 to play, 3rd and 2. You're up 23-16. Your opponent has one timeout, and you're near midfield. Why do you do this?
2nd down and 10 for the Panthers. As Bridgewater fires downfield, and a diving catch is made by Robbie Anderson in Bears territory.
That's the wrong clip. He threw it. It was incomplete pass on 3rd down and 2. Your opponent had one timeout. Why do you throw the ball?
I don't know.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. Maybe they felt that they...
I sent Buck the wrong clip. Sorry.
I know. Sorry. Wrong clip.
Sorry, Buck.
I was going to say, I thought that was the right clip. But no, okay.
Right clip. For a different story?
That's right. No, wrong. No, wrong clip.
Wrong
entirely.
Clip. Wrong. Yep. So this is a case of the Mondays already.
Yep. Case of the Mondays for me on this one.
This would be a wide right.
But why do you do that? Yeah. Why do you do that?
I have no idea.
I mean,
stress and the anxiety of the game. Maybe you're going to overthink the situation. Most of the time, it goes, well, they think they're going to run. Everybody knows we're going to run. Let's trick them. Let's do a little play action, trick them.
Good news is, for the Bears, is that Teddy Bridgewater ended his day like he started it. Started with an interception, ended it with an interception. And they are able to hang on for a win in Carolina. That's actually a good win. A road win for the Bears.
It's a good win.
23-16.
It's a good win because Carolina was playing pretty good.
To me, that's like one of the most polarizing plays in football, though, because anytime a team completes that pass, then everyone gushes about what a genius, ballsy call it was by the head coach. Right. But it goes incomplete, and it's like, oh, that guy's an idiot. What are they doing?
Yeah, Russell Wilson throwing it up to DK. It's fourth down. What do you do? Oh, got it. Every time.
All right.
Perfect.
Titans, Texans, Houston scored with 1:50 to play.
Oh, God.
To go up 36-29. They're already up seven. Why did they go for two?
Take your analytics.
Why did they go for two?
Take your analytics. Romeo Crennel is 73,000 years old. Somebody told him to go for this.
Man.
Because it made sense. What are you protect? Are you trying to make the playoffs or are you just trying to win a game? I could admire trying to win a game. Just have a better play.
The Tennessee Titans made them pay.
Tannehill. Going to go for it. To the end zone. It's caught. Did he get down? He did. A.J. Brown with the catch.
Extra point, tied it up, and then Derrick Henry made short work of it in OT. 42-36. The Titans win. That was Greg Gumbel on the call for CBS.
My favorite part of that entire thing was watching Deshaun Watson during the coin flip when he went.
Yeah.
When he went.
He knew.
Oh.
He knew.
The opposite of them. We're going to get the ball. We're going to score.
He knew they were going to lose. He's like, if we don't get this coin flip, it's over.
There had to have been that conversation of guys, we're tired. Our defense is tired.
And then we don't want to guard Derrick Henry on a swing pass. And then we're going to run the Wildcat.
You know what I like? They call that the Wild King in Tennessee because they call him King Henry.
King Henry.
They crowned him, too, after the game. Put the crown on it.
Well, as they should. Derrick Henry, 212 yards rushing.
223, wasn't it?
No.
I think I got 212.
212 rushing, two touchdowns, and then 52 yards receiving. That is a day at the office. 264 yards of total offense for Derrick Henry.
Wow.
And that, folks, is our wide right. The mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football. All right, Bama rolled Georgia and opened up the door. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
Puts his man in motion. Looks that way. Wants to go deep. And Will Waddle has got it on the run. And he's gone. Jalen Waddle. Touchdown.
Whoa. It escalated quickly. Brad Nessler on the call for CBS Sports. That was call of Alabama, Georgia. That touchdown right there by Jalen Waddle. With 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, turned that game on its head. Georgia went from being up 24-20 at that mark with 4 minutes to go to that made it 27-24 Alabama, and they never looked back. 41-24, a beatdown in that third and fourth quarter.
Very impressive game by Alabama because last week they had to play in a shootout, and this time they played from behind, and they did things differently. And you always hear Nick Saban in those halftime quick conversations, which, hey, congrats to Nick Saban on his three false tests or whatever it is, and then was able to coach because he obviously makes a significant difference when Nick Saban prowls the sideline because he is who he is, and they love him as a leader there. That's why he's the best coach in college football right now. But watching this team in Alabama, you know, you have to go through ups and downs, and usually we see Alabama at the start of a season. They get to place a couple patty cakes, then they play their lower-level teams in the beginning of their conference, and they always save them to the end. And now we're getting to see Alabama play in tough games where they have to outscore everybody. And they got in a defensive, I don't know, it was defense. They were playing with seven guys practically and just massive shootout, found a way to win. And then here comes Georgia again. Georgia's going to be Kirby Smart. Give me the guy that knocks off Alabama, and they can't get it done.
Yep.
Just the most underwhelming team of all time. Now Georgia's the new Clemson that we used to talk about, and they're still good, and Georgia's still an incredible team. They're just running up against Alabama, and they find a way to win in the second half.
I mean, they outscored Georgia 24-0 from the
shut them down.
Final drive of the first half. This is the biggest difference with Alabama is that with Steve Sarkisian as their offensive coordinator,
who's going to get a job in a heartbeat.
They have answers.
Yeah.
They have answers offensively. They are explosive offensively because Georgia scored that touchdown to go up 24-17 with there's like 30 seconds to go in the first half, and Alabama still had got a field goal as time expired. Like, they've still found a way to do it, and you sit there and you go, man, that's different from Alabama. Usually it's take a knee, we'll come out in the second half, and hopefully our defense can protect us. Well, in the second half, their defense pitches a shutout, and their offense scores 21.
I wouldn't doubt Steve Sarkisian gets an Atlanta offer or somewhere gets an NFL offer, much less college offer. Yeah, no, I most definitely. I think he's better suited. I kind of think that he might be better suited for NFL because it kind of gets him away from the recruiting thing, which he can get a little snaky at.
Get ready to... Right on, baby. Let's go.
Hey, we all know that Alabama and Nick Saban's where you go for your rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. He's changed his life. He went through his rehab stuff, and give the guy credit. Give him credit where credit is due. But this goes along to say, with every time you recruit against Alabama, you think you have the right guys, or maybe they lose 14 guys in the NFL or 13, and then they just reload.
Yep.
And they find ways to win because they believe that they can win. And right now they're the best team in the SEC.
And the amazing part of what Alabama does is you're seeing just how hard it is to do this with what LSU is going through, is that it doesn't matter from year in to year out. They just find a way to reload, right? I mean, they lost, two receivers in the first round of the NFL draft.
Five stars.
And they end up
three
just
deep,
like,
but five stars.
Oh, yeah, by the way, we're just going to bring, we still have Jalen Waddle. We have Devontae Smith.
But they have an average quarterback.
John Mechie.
Right, but Mac Jones is his arm isn't that strong. He's not super mobile. He's not, there's nothing dynamic about Mac Jones. But as a team, good luck trying to find a way to beat them when they play as a group. Because they just hand the ball off. Najee Harris is, here we go again, another beast of a running back. And just, every time Alabama reloads.
California kid, by the way, that couldn't be kept in the Pac-12.
You beat me to it, Buck. Well done.
That is a problem that seems to happen quite often.
Yes, they do. All the good ones leave.
But did that loss then for Georgia, though, open up the door for the Pac-12 and Big Ten again? I mean, we've been talking about this as the weeks have been going on. You've had the Big 12 has kind of eliminated itself unless Oklahoma State can continue to be unbeaten. But they're going to have their issues in the Big 12 because they still have to play Oklahoma and Texas, who have two losses. Right. And look, the SEC was like, hey, SEC will get two spots in this thing. Well, you have a Georgia team that got the doors blown off them. I mean, that game wasn't close that they against Alabama, right? They scored. They get shut out in the second half. And then Florida, they got beat by Texas A&M.
Here's the most incredible thing, too, is that Alabama wins, beats Georgia. Georgia gets the respect of falling one position in the AP 25.
Oh, yeah.
One position. Yeah. Ohio State hasn't even played a game yet. They're still five. And like you said, Oklahoma State and Texas A&M climbs back in. How many SEC teams are in the top 10 according to the AP top 25? That would be, three?
Three in the top 10?
Yeah, because Florida fell all the way.
It's a down week for them.
Yeah, Florida loses and they fall all the way out. So they're considered 10. In the 10. So if we went, of course, that's 10. You have four teams sitting there. And who's the best chance for the Pac-12 right now? Oregon is the one that sits at 13. We still have no idea how Oregon's going to look with the amount of depth they've lost and what they're going to be. Yeah. They're on paper, they look pretty solid. Yeah. On paper. We have no idea. I'm still on the side as the Pac-12 has a shot. I give them about this is how I sit even with the SEC, is that 40%.
Yeah. Doors
40%, 35%. I know that doesn't sound like a lot. But it's not.
The door is open, though, for the Pac-12 again.
Fractionally.
I mean, because if that would have been a close game, there would have been people trying to justify this thing all over the place, right?
How does Georgia stay ranked four?
The
SEC.
Because they go down the road of, who are you going to put in front of them? Right?
Well, you can't. Yeah, because BYU.
And they want to have...
Come on, BYU!
They want to have that protection in there, and they have that.
Right.
And their game against Florida is going to mean a lot.
Yeah.
And can Florida keep it on the rails their entire season?
Jeez, they're screwed now because of all their COVID protocols and that loss of that game. That would have been a big game for them. They needed that game. Now they're going to be on the back burner a little bit. They're going to have time off.
They'll have that December 12th, which means they'll have no makeup. They'll have no bye week before the SEC championship game, which they're probably, everybody else is probably going to catch up and they're going to have a cancellation or two somewhere along the line, you're assuming, but their back's against the wall there. And, you mentioned with Oregon, like, hey, we don't know a whole lot. Like, it's hard because nobody can really see what Oregon's doing. Like they had a scrimmage over the weekend, and it's just going off of what, you know, the coaches are saying. And
right,
you know, I would
gauge
love
anything.
I would love a coach to come out and say, "Yeah, we really struggled in this aspect of it." But you're never going to hear that. Mario Cristobal said the defense won their first scrimmage, which should be reassuring. He was very complimentary of their defensive line, which we know is going to be good with Kayvon Thibodeaux and Jordan Scott up front.
But the other struggle with the Pac-12, and this isn't to sit there and throw shade at the Pac-12, but we'll throw shade at the Pac-12, last to get started, last to get playing, last to make a decision. Even the Mountain West, everybody else, Maction, all these other teams are going. And so you got to get in the eyeballs of everybody. You got to get it to the forefront immediately. And so we can't fix that problem. Well, we cannot fix that problem. The only way a Pac-12 team gets any sort of recognition is if they run roughshod through this entire conference.
And they got to be perfect. You have to be perfect. And you have to do it with style as well.
Rough shot.
The one thing that may be, you know, benefiting the Pac-12 is like we're already seeing so much cannibalization of good teams, right? With Oklahoma and Texas and then a blowout with Alabama and Georgia, is that the media will be wanting to find somebody to give that shot to, right? And as teams continue to beat each other up, if you do have that team that runs roughshod and is dominant in their wins, they'll get that benefit of the doubt.
We haven't had an undefeated Pac-12 champion come out since USC.
Yeah, but we haven't had six conference games.
Correct.
You know, that's a big one.
But
nine.
You got to throw in the seven because that's going to be a championship game. Whatever team's going to have to do it, it's going to have to be seven games of undefeated. And that game has not been a reality for anybody in the Pac-12. Even Oregon last year lost their opener. So until we see it reality-wise, it's going to be such a... But it does open the window a little bit.
Yeah.
But could we see a two-loss team make the college football playoff this year from the SEC? I don't know.
See, that's going to be harder to justify if there's unbeatens lingering.
A two-loss SEC team or a one-loss Pac-12 championship team?
Oh, a two-loss SEC team because they'll play 10 games.
There's the point right there.
You know,
there's your only shot.
Have 10 games on there. Well, but if they don't get to that 10 games, then what do you do with it?
You might see two SEC teams and two Big Ten teams.
Boy. Well, no, because Clemson will be in.
Oh, my bad. That's what I meant. Yeah, come on. Okay, that's what I meant. So we'll get Clemson.
By the way, Clemson scored 73 effing points this weekend.
That. I absolutely love it. That they just stomped on them. I was laughing because I said that could never happen to a Washington team because you'd have to write a letter to all the moms and say sorry. In college football, you crushed them.
Yeah, it was 7-7.
When's the last time we've seen a 70s number show up in the Pac-12? Well, I remember. It was 2016.
Yeah, wouldn't that be Oregon Washington?
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's first game starting as the quarterback there.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can lean back on. You get Washington's gotten skunked the last 2 years anyway. So
yeah. But Pac-12, the door could be open for him after Bama rules Georgia and Georgia falls a full spot in the top 25. Man, what are they ever going to do? What are they ever going to do?
Georgia keeps telling us how good they are, yet they can't ever do anything and get over the hump, and they won't beat Alabama or LSU.
Well, so does Oklahoma. How good Oklahoma is, but then they get to the playoff, and it's like, done.
Well, at least they're in the playoff. I'll give them that.
Well, yeah, I know.
They're there. But love to be the team that's there.
That's the point. Why? Why?
Because
they're
Oklahoma.
Three times, exactly. Yeah. Three times that they've been there, and they're over in the college football playoff. You know, at least the Pac-12 has a win in the college football playoff.
Oh, God, that was like a year ago.
What? That wasn't a year ago. That was the very first college football playoff.
I know. It feels like it was a year ago. It's 2020. You forget everything.
But they do. They got it.
Yeah, they do.
They got to win.
Yeah, that one.
Yep. All right. Time to let her rip. Case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears? What's bothering you? 503-250-1080. Case of the Mondays next. This is Dusty and Cam.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
No, man.
So good to
Man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A case of the Mondays. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just another manic Monday.
All right, time to let her rip. Case of the Mondays, 503-250-1080. What's grinding your gears? What's bothering you? Let us know on the fan text line.
Case of the Mondays, internet went down at 10 a.m. yesterday. I have YouTube TV, and I need Wi-Fi to watch my sports. It's still not up as we speak. Thanks, CenturyLink. No. Even more reason to hate the Seahawks.
I don't know why. I have no idea how you people out there are call yourself cord cutters, yet rely on that internet to work.
No. God, well, you always have to have the backup plan, which is the digital HD antenna. If you go cord cutting, you have to have that backup plan because you could have watched, you know, at least the Green Bay and Tampa game. It was on Fox here locally. Yeah. I mean, you had games that were able to watch. You could watch more the morning window as well. That sucks, man. But no internet. I mean, look, especially at this time, like you need internet. If you have kids got to do their schooling too. Internetting.
True that.
This one, Case of the Mondays, the Vikings are on the hook for $30+ billion to Kirk Cousins, and there is no way out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's always a way out. There's always a way out. You can trade him.
Well, his deal was fully guaranteed. Remember that?
Yeah, fully guaranteed. It's not the end of the... $30 million for a starting quarterback is actually a pretty good bargain right now. Strangely enough. I mean, you could be paying 50. You could be paying 40. 39.
Not to Kirk Cousins. It's a bargain if you have a good starting quarterback. If you have Kirk Cousins, it is not a bargain.
What a playoff game line. What's changed? What's really changed between this year and last year?
No Stephon Diggs, but they got Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, they got all those guys that opted out on defense.
They're just not good.
They just haven't found
opted
a way to
out.
Win.
Opted out. They left in free agency.
And you've lost close games. A couple close games.
Well, yeah, this one wasn't even close. Yeah. How about the Atlanta Falcons getting that little "we fired Dan Quinn" surge going
there
on?
We go. Right.
That's
what the Jets don't want to do. They don't want to fire Adam Gase because they don't want to win a football game.
They took the Vikings behind the woodshed, man.
P1 Whoa. Dustin, Case of the Monday is heading out to Wildwood, golfing 3 times in 4 days. It's pretty rough. I hate it.
You know, Dustin.
Son of a, I love that. Congratulations.
Dustin.
Beyond jealous. Wonderful.
Yeah. If you're wondering, Kirk Cousins has 2 more years on his deal.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. We could totally move that.
Who's going to take $45 million guaranteed in the final year?
You guys do realize that the NFL can cut him, although it'll be a cap hit. They don't actually have to pay the exact amount that they're talking about. Understandable that I know it's 100% guaranteed, but I think they can afford making a move. And if they want to suck so bad and get, I don't know, maybe Justin Fields, they might not be bad enough to get in the Trevor Lawrence conversation, but maybe. There might be a few guys.
He will count for, if you cut him at the end of this year, $62 million. And if you cut him at the end of next year, $41
million. $41 million against the cap?
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I think you're reading it wrong.
No, it's the dead cap.
$62 million.
It's the dead cap number because he's got a guaranteed deal.
Understandable, but nobody counts $62 million against the cap.
I'm looking at the dead cap number in his cap details is... cap is 62, so if you get rid of him...
But cap can be spaced out. They can actually take cap number and defer and space that around. No team would allow a $62 million cap hit.
Well, isn't that the whole thing about his fully guaranteed deal, which is they're actually tied to him and married to him because of the structure of the contract?
I wish I knew who their capologist is, but I would find that quite amazing if they allowed a $62 million. Because not even Aaron Rodgers counts that much.
Yeah, it is the old... Well, Matt Ryan is. Isn't Matt Ryan worth that right now?
How they structure it over time? Because he's still got 3 years left.
Well, yeah, and that's
the same. It's a per year cap number. You can't put all the backloaded amount and put it into one season.
No, it's not. And that's why his dead cap number right now is 62, and then it's 41.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough pill to swallow for a team.
This one says, Texans fan, and I got Derrick Henry yesterday. I can't even be mad because the dude is a beast. That's my Case of the Mondays.
Yeah, having something to be like, oh, well, as a fan, you can justify it and rationalize it. You can't rationalize what Derrick Henry does to you. He's just better than you. He's just a really damn good running back.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, he's good. He's the best running back in the league.
And this one says, my Case of the Mondays is tanking for Trevor Lawrence, losing to an 0-5 Falcons team, and when we know that Kirk is not the guy. So another Vikings fan, I guess
we're
going to see him
Vikings
lose to the Falcons.
What are all the Vikings fans doing here? What's going on here? Hey. Where are the 49er people? Oh, they're smiling. Buck is smiling. No case of the Mondays.
No case of the Mondays now.
Smiling.
No, I don't know what to think about this Niners team. I really don't.
Jimmy G's back, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Gosh, it's amazing how 1 week is just up, down, up, down, up and down.
I think it's going to be a lot of that this season for this team, especially with the injuries.
If Mostert's hurt again and out for the year, it's like, come
that
on.
Would be bad. Did you see that stiff arm he had last night?
It was excellent. It was Henry-esque.
You know, there were two big injuries yesterday in the NFL because Taylor Lewan, they fear he tore his ACL for the Titans.
I did not realize that. That would be a huge blow.
And then you have Devin Bush of the Pittsburgh Steelers tore his ACL. Stud linebacker.
That's a big time loss, too. And that was a weird way he tore it. It was bizarre. He was going through a sideline tackle. Yeah. He was closing on him, and it was the way he slid. And again, natural grass at Pittsburgh. So it doesn't. He knees and turf. They don't discriminate.
Yep, right on cue. As you guys were talking about it, my case of the Mondays: Devin Bush. Need I say more? I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah, that's all right. You're still really good Steelers fan. I know, but that's frustrating.
You guys got any case of the Mondays here?
No, the Astros lost. I'm smiling ear to ear.
I feel old. I feel old because I'm for the first time sore from playing golf.
What?
Huh?
How many holes?
88 holes in 54 hours.
Well, then that makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you be sore?
Well,
I don't feel like 88
holes
years
of walking
ago,
or riding.
Case, but I feel old.
Oh, you ride in that. He did the old stay and play out at Sun River, which is a great deal.
Wow, sucks to be you. Jeez. Yeah.
So how'd you shoot, though?
I mean, pretty well until yesterday. Boy, yesterday was ugly. But pretty good overall. I broke 90 twice at Meadows, which was nice.
Very nice.
And then I got a 93 at Crosswater, which is nice. Definitely the toughest course I've ever played.
Yeah.
Well, Crosswater, maybe Pumpkin's tough, but
I think it's Crosswater's, isn't it graded as the second hardest course in the state of Oregon?
I have no
idea. Might be.
Yeah. I think Pronghorn's
number
one.
A buddy have a case of the Mondays on this. There's a long par 5 hole 12 there, and my buddy decided he couldn't wait to go to the restroom, and he went and kind of ducked behind a tree. And like a bat out of hell, a door flies open from a house across the river, and some lady goes, "Hey! It's not a public toilet. Zip it up."
You know, she just sits there all day long and just
waiting for
wagging. Some guys are wagging it out.
She was waiting for him.
We found out later she apparently has kind of a reputation around the course and sits in her house with binoculars waiting for this to happen and then calls the clubhouse and tells the marshal every time it happens.
Yep. Those people don't have a lot of free time.
No.
It's
the life that lady lives.
They yell at the wall on a daily basis.
What a
my
life
goal
she
is to sit and watch men. Do you really think she's looking at it through the binoculars just to find that?
I don't know what she's doing.
What's she looking for?
She got a lot of free time.
Is she a peeping Tom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little bit. She's a peeping Karen.
Yeah.
What is she?
Here's the thing.
What are you doing?
Remember Ben Roethlisberger? He got busted for, taking a whiz on a golf course. Like, that was a big story around Ben Roethlisberger a few years back.
Yeah.
It's a golf course.
Well, you're not supposed to wag it out in the middle of the golf course.
Well,
man.
not in the middle of the golf course, but if you try to find a tree and go back behind the tree, you're fine.
Right.
This one says, first fishing trip in six plus months, wife being pregnant and having a newborn and all that, went to the coast, fell in the water an hour into the day.
Ooh.
Oh,
ooh.
No.
In the boat? In the boat?
That's what it sounds like.
Wow, that's cold. That's a shock.
Then they say, fished for another hour, then called it.
Attaboy.
Hey, you powered through.
Yes.
You powered through.
I love that.
And you're here to text about it. Thanks. Thank you for your service out there.
Hopefully you had a change of clothes.
503-25. Whoa, we got another one?
Just one last one. Case of the Monday. A six-year-old came into the bed this morning to wake me up, jumping on me and landed
on
my balls.
Right on the nuts. The nuts
right
punch.
On the nutsack.
That's what kids are there for. Just like the guy that got his TV smashed from the nut punch.
Yep. 503-250-1080. If you've got Case of the Mondays, let us know. We're here for you. Coming up next hour, we'll hit every game in the NFL in our rapid fire. NFL overreactions from week 6. Who are the new champs? Who's done? Just done for the year. Overreactions of the NFL weekend. We want to hear from you. But coming up next, then there were 3. Another unbeaten hits the deck. How long will the others last? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.